One day, someone was sawing a chunk of scrap timber in two, then halfway through, thinks to themselves, wait a minute, I should call this art and sell it to the art gallery for thousands of dollars. What's even more silly? My tax dollars, by the way, and yours too. What's even more silly was that someone actually bought it. And when it comes to purchasing, I want to know, who's responsible? Who's responsible? Who did that? See, different people have different responses to the same thing, don't they? I think it's ridiculous. You know, there were others standing around looking at this block of wood going, Someone else thinks it's art and pays thousands of dollars and it's the centerpiece of an art gallery. And in the same way that people have different responses to art, or a block of wood in this case, in the passage that was read in Luke 23, we have very different responses to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to go through all of that in detail, but we see the responses there of the women in verse 27, or sentence 27, who cried for him. In verse 35 to 36, we see the rulers and the soldiers who just laughed at Jesus. In verse 35, there were the people who just stood and watched. Who knows what they were thinking? But I'd just like to concentrate just for a brief moment this morning on the responses of those two criminals that died with Jesus that day, and look at how they responded to what they were seeing. Verse 32, or sentence 32 in that reading of Luke, it says, two others, criminals, were also led away to be executed with him, Jesus. And when they arrived at a place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and one on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. And they, the soldiers that crucified him, divided his clothes and cast lots. Jesus died right in the middle of two criminals. And when it says there that he died or he was executed, that's kind of a bit weak just to say it in a word. When they talk about him being crucified in verse 33, it almost sounds a bit matter of fact. And I think sometimes we talk about Jesus' crucifixion as matter of fact. But crucifixion was the most appalling way you could die in those days, if not in any days. They don't mention that here because in those days everyone knew what crucifixion meant. It was pretty regular. People knew exactly what it meant. No more needed to be said. But we are less familiar with it these days, aren't we? In crucifixion, what normally happens is that you're beaten to a pulp. They would often get these whips that were impregnated with metal or bone, and they would just slash your back to the bone. You are then stretched out onto slabs of wood in the shape of a cross, and without any modesty whatsoever. Nails are monstered into your hands and feet. And then that cross is then lifted up and it is dropped into position with only the nails in your hands and feet to hold you up there. And as a person hangs there in naked humiliation, the whole weight of a person's body falls onto their chest cavity, which then cannot expand in order for your lungs to breathe. And so in order to draw breath, you need to push yourself up. But the only thing you have to push yourself up on are the nails. And with such searing, nerve-blinding pain, crucified people die a slow, anguished, tormented death by suffocation and exposure and blood loss and injury. Now, I tell you that not to be gruesome, but so that we can better appreciate that when Jesus hangs there, hammered to a cross, his body beaten and broken, as his executioners right beneath him gamble for his clothes with what little precious air he has left in his gasping body, he utters what can only be described as breathtaking words. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. I don't know about you, but that is astounding, is it not? Is that not impressive? I don't know how forgiving I would be to those that have just nailed me to a cross. But it tells you something about Jesus, doesn't it? It tells you that he was just no ordinary person and that this was no ordinary death. Now, both these criminals crucified on either side of Jesus, they saw the same person in the middle. They heard these same words. They felt his same pain, but they had entirely different responses to Jesus. One criminal just abuses him. Look at verse 39. Then one of the criminals hanging there began to yell insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. He is mocking Jesus. His insults are basically the same as that of the soldiers and the rulers in verse 35. If you really are the Christ, the chosen one, then save yourself. He's trying to humiliate Jesus. If you are who you say you are, prove it. Prove it by climbing down off the cross and, by the way, get us down as well. And that Jesus doesn't actually do it seems to vindicate his ridicule. It's a pretty amazing reaction, isn't it? This guy is suffering the same way Jesus is, and all he can do is verbally kick Jesus in the teeth and emotionally stomp on Jesus' fingers as he clings to life. That was the first criminal. The second criminal, however, says, leave him alone. He has totally the opposite response to Jesus. Look at verse 40 with me. It says, but the other answered, rebuking him, don't you even fear God since you are undergoing the same punishment? We are punished justly because we are getting back what we deserve for the things we did, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Such a contrast, isn't it, to the first criminal. He sees the crucified Jesus. He hears what Jesus says and he understands. He understands, one, that he is guilty and deserves to be punished. You see it there, verse 41 again. We are punished justly because we are getting back what we deserve for the things that we did. But secondly, he realizes, though he's guilty, Jesus is innocent. This man has done nothing wrong, he says. And he was right. Jesus was innocent. If you read the previous chapters in Luke's gospel, you'll see all the different court cases that Jesus had, every one of them, he was found innocent. But he was still crucified. And thirdly, this criminal realizes that Jesus can save him. See verse 42? Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Somehow he knew, we don't know how, but somehow he knew that Jesus' death was the doorway into heaven. So whilst the others bagged Jesus out, he was saying, remember me, Jesus. Remember me in your kingdom. In other words, he knew that Jesus could save him, but wasn't talking about this life, but the next. He knew who Jesus was, and he knew what he deserved. But he also realized that Jesus was his only hope in his helplessness. And so he begged to be remembered by Jesus. And wow, look at what Jesus says in response to him, verse 43. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Oh man. In other words, Jesus is saying, I will remember you. I will remember you. Both these men confront the same Jesus. One abuses him, the other embraces him. The first one got what he deserved. The other went to paradise with Jesus. You know, in many ways, all people are like these criminals. No offense intended. But all of us are hanging around to die, aren't we? Each day is a day closer to the day we die, no matter how old or young you are. For some, it might be 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years. For some, it might be less. We just don't know. Just like those criminals, we're hanging around to die. But also, as far as God is concerned, like the criminals, all of us are guilty before him. All of us have gone against God at some point, in some way. All of us at some stage have chosen to live our lives independent from God. We don't need him. We don't need Jesus. We are okay on our own. And so we reject God in that sense, and we reject Jesus. We've all been there. The Bible tells us that the consequence or the penalty for sin is death. And death is separation from God forever. No kingdom, no paradise. But God did not want this. He did not want people to die forever separated from him. And so he sent Jesus to fix the problem. What's that supposed to mean? Well, what it means is that at the center of human history is another block of wood. And this one was not glittering under lights, but darkened by the stain of blood. And there was no slit in this one. Only nails. And impaled upon it was the grotesque, tortured, broken figure of Jesus. And as we gaze upon this real life canvas, knowing that Jesus was innocent, the barbaric horror of this cruel reality must beg the question, who's responsible? Who did this? And the answer is you and me. You did this. I did it. I don't mean to offend you by saying that, but you must understand, when Jesus died on the cross, he was dying for our sins, not his own. He was dying because we rejected God. He did not do that. The Bible tells us that when Jesus died, he died to pay the penalty of death that you and I deserved. In that first Bible reading, 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, let me read it to you. It says, he, Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that having died for sins, we might live for righteousness. It is by his wounds that you are healed or saved. He took the punishment that we deserved for our sin. And you know what? He did it because he loves us. Who else loves you like that? Who else has loved you like that? And Jesus did this so that once the penalty is paid for sin, our sins could be forgiven. Which is so important and crucial because it's only forgiven sinners that enter paradise. Jesus died for us. If we had not sinned, he would not have died. That is why we're responsible. That's why we have Easter, friends. Is to remember what Jesus did for us in his death. Now, Easter, of course, does not end today. Easter continues through to Sunday, where it ends really, really well. Remember, the second criminal asked for Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom. And Jesus says to him, you're going to be with me in paradise. Easter ends, you see, when Jesus is raised from the dead. Penalty for sin having been paid. But he's also raised from the dead because God said, you, Jesus, will take people to heaven to be with me. Once their sins have been forgiven. So, you know, Easter is both sorrow, but it is celebration. And so as we approach it, as we approach Easter, I ask you to consider that there are two ways that we are no different from those two criminals crucified with Jesus. Firstly, you know, we see exactly what they saw. Jesus. We see the same Jesus who died for sins and was raised to life. We see the same thing as they did. But secondly, like them, we have a response to make to Jesus, yes? We can respond like the first criminal and get what we deserve. And pay for our own sins. Or we can be like the second criminal and receive what we do not deserve. Paradise. The first criminal did not acknowledge his guilt and nor believe that Jesus is the one who saves. The second realized his guilt before God and his need for Jesus to forgive him and grant him paradise. And so he put his trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of his sins. He didn't do anything to have his sins forgiven that he might enter paradise, because there's nothing you can do hanging on a cross. No, he put his faith in Jesus, and Jesus remembered him into paradise. You know, in a moment, you'll see people getting baptized and confirmed. And they are doing so because they have put their faith and trust in what Jesus has done for them. Easter is here. We remember the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. That's the purpose of the holiday, originally at least. It is to remember. And it is good and right and very important to remember. But, you know, what's even more critical to your eternity is more than just you remembering Jesus, you know. That's actually whether he will remember you when the time comes. Will he remember you? And so the question I want to leave you with this morning is, which of those criminals will you be like? The one who rejected Jesus, or the one who embraced him? May I pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we give you humble and hearty thanks for Jesus. Thank you that he came and died for our sins to pay the penalty that we deserve, so that through faith in him we may be with you in paradise. And we thank you in Jesus' name.